Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Let me add my welcome to those that have welcomed you already. My name's Charlie. I'm one of the pastors here at Catalyst Baptist, and I count it as a privilege to be able to bring you God's Word this morning. Thank you for those of you online as well. It's great for us to be able to come together and hear this Word. We're continuing our series on unshakable faith. And last week, if you didn't hear the message, Pastor Inoke spoke on faith that obeys. And so I'd like to encourage you that if you want unshakable faith, first and foremost, it stands upon that obedience. So when we face trials and opposition that comes our way, it's the obedience of God that helps us overcome those things. So if you missed that message from Pastor Inoke last week, or the message Pastor Stan initiated all this the previous week, I'd encourage you to head online to have a look at our website, to go to our app, which is, there's QR codes in front of you on your chairs there, or even go to our YouTube channel and catch up on those messages, because they do lay the foundations for where we're going with this particular series. And of course, all the messages that we have spoken are in these places. As your pastor, I'd love to tell you that when I gave my life to Jesus, everything was fantastic. There was no problems in my life. I faced insurmountable problems, but by the grace of God, I was able to overcome them without any issues, without any doubts, without any fears, without any problems. But that would be a lie. The reality is that I've had my struggles. The reality is that there's been times that I've really struggled to find how to go forward, how to move forward in the present situations that I was facing. And in all honesty, our situations, our family's in the midst of a struggle right now. And there are prayers that we're praying that aren't answered. There are things that are happening that we don't understand why they're happening. We wish they didn't happen. And we have a desire for things to be different to what they are right now. And it creates tension within the family dynamics. It creates issues and problems that we'd really prefer not to be there. Have you been there? Have you faced similar struggles? Have you had those difficulties? There are people who can hear my voice, perhaps in the auditorium, perhaps online. And you've made that decision to walk away from faith. You've decided that it's a load of crock, it's not for you. There are people who've decided they want nothing more to do with the church. There are other people sitting here who are just hoping that God is real. They haven't found Him to be real at this stage, but they're hoping that this is all for something, that it's not for nothing. And they have this desire that God is real, but they don't know that at this stage. But sitting amongst us, sitting beside you, are people who are rejoicing, people who are praising God, people who are joyful and thankful, because even in the deepest, darkest valleys that they face, they know the power and presence of God. And they know that He is with them, comforting them, supporting them, guiding them. And they can rejoice. They're the ones you hear singing the loudest. They're the ones you see raising their hands. I'm not saying that those of you who don't raise your hands aren't worshiping God. But you can just see that they know Jesus so powerfully and wonderfully. And they worship Him as a result. For the most part, I believe the people gathered here today and the people who are joining us online have a desire to follow Jesus the way that we should. They have a desire to never fail, to never fall, to never stumble in their faith. They want to be those champions of faith who could honestly look back at their lives and say, all I did for the sake of the Lord. But again, our reality is not like that, is it? For the most part, we come up against things that are sometimes overwhelming. Things that cause us to struggle with how to move forward, to have faith. And they give us great heartache and pain. And we lose hope. If that's you, Please tune in. Please stick around. Plug into what we're about to hear. Because today we're going to be speaking on the faith that perseveres. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you are a God who loves us. I thank you you're a God who stepped into our world in order for you to live the life that we should have lived and to make a way for us to have relationship with you once more. And I thank you that you are present here now. I thank you you are a real loving God. And Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear from you this morning. I know I'm speaking, but I pray you will speak through me and that the words that are spoken will transform someone's life today. Take it and use it for your glory and purposes, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about faith that perseveres, I wonder what you think of. In fact, when we talk about faith, I wonder what you think of when we talk about faith. Faith is one of those words that we use in the church that we assume everyone knows exactly what it means when we say faith. Well, we're very fortunate that the author of Hebrews explains that for us. And they say in Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of the things we cannot see. And I don't have enough time to get into everything that this passage of Scripture indicates. I don't have enough time to explain it all. But all of us who are Christians, all of us who are true followers of Jesus, have moved from hope to faith. At some point, as I mentioned before, we hoped God was real. We hoped that there was something in all this stuff about God and Jesus and Holy Spirit and everything like that. And then at some point, that was revealed to us. And we decided that what we were reading, we decided that what we heard was actually real. We believed Jesus Christ came to this earth, the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived and died. And he rose on the third day. And he ascended to heaven and he reigns in glory. And when he went to heaven, he sent Holy Spirit. And we came to a point where we believed that was real. And we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We moved from hope to faith. And so in short, faith is confidence that God is and will do what he promises. Confidence that God is and he will do what he promises. Yeah, I stole it from Andy Stanley, but I like it. It is this confidence in the reality of God that brings transformation to our lives, or it should. It is this confidence of God that allows us to obey him. Not because being Christian means we've got a whole heap of things we've got to do. We've got a whole heap of laws we have to obey. But we do it because he showed his first love to us in sending Jesus to die to us. And in response to what he's done for us, I want to live a life that is pleasing to him. I want to live a life that honors him. I want to live a life that points people to him. It is my belief and confidence in God that he will fulfill his promises that constantly calls me back to himself. I endure, I persevere because he has promised me eternal life. He has promised me one day I'm going to stand in his presence in glory. There'll be no more sickness, no more heartache, no more pain, no more sin. That's going to be awesome, isn't it? Is that worth aiming for? Is that worth living for? I think it is. Wow, I had a bigger response from the first service. Normally it's the other way around. Strike that off. What a day that's going to be. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be beyond our comprehension. It's this same faith that the heroes of old that we've been speaking about acknowledge for. Hebrews 11:2. For by it, faith, the people of old received their commendation. Today we're going to be looking specifically at the life of Moses and how his faith, a faith that perseveres, is expressed in his life. And we've only got a very short account of Moses in Hebrews here, but it's quite astounding, some of the things that's there. And I think it's enough for us to get an idea of how this worked out in Moses' life. So we see that having faith that perseveres allows us to make right choices in difficult situations. In our text from Hebrews, we see first and foremost this lived out in Moses' parents. Amram and Jochebed were enslaved, as was the rest of Israel. And this decree had been issued by Pharaoh or the king, whatever you want to call him, that any male children born to the Israelites should be killed. But it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. As we read this verse, it's a normal desire of parents to protect their children. It's a normal desire for them to want the very best for their kids. But there's something different going on here. It was faith, not that desire, that drove them to protect Moses, to hide the child. Think about that faith definition that I mentioned earlier. Faith is confidence God is and will do what he promises. And when we read this account in context, God reveals something to Moses' mum and dad about Moses himself. Some translations say that he was unusual. My kids are unusual, so nothing special there. Some say he was beautiful. Some say he was no ordinary child. And in Acts 7:20, we're told that when Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. There was something particular about Moses, something, an anointing or something that was upon him that made him stand out. And his parents took that as being straight from God. And they acted to protect him. They did so in faith. They didn't know how God was going to work that out. They were facing persecution, perhaps even death, if they were found out. But they trusted God and they believed that God had a special call on Moses' life. And so they stepped out in faith and they allowed God to work out everything that was going to happen in order to keep Moses safe and to protect them as they did that. When Moses grew up, he was trained in all the ways of Egypt. He would have had the world at his feet. He could have done whatever he wanted. And yet, in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, it says it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Time out. I mean, can you just step into this story for a moment? Here's Moses. He's been trained in all the ways of Egypt. He understands everything that is going on. He is the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He is a prince of Egypt. Couldn't we say God has brought him into such a position for such a time as this? Could you imagine the impact that the 2IC, if you like, from Egypt would have on protecting Israel and promoting Israel within Egypt? Could you imagine the wealth that he could invest upon them with the authority that he had? And yet, for Moses, this is a fork in the road. He has to make a choice. One road continues the life that he knows, a life of comfort, a life of wealth, a life of status, position, and a life of power. It's a wide road. It's the road that so many people seek. It's the road that so many people desire. It's a popular road. But then there's another road. It's less traveled. It's rugged. It's difficult. It's often lonely. And Moses is standing at this fork in the road. And the word translated choose here is a word that literally means to take for oneself, or basically to make a stand. And this is the crossroads that Moses is at. Moses had a choice between the incredible life that he had been trained for to rule Egypt, or a life with the people of God, those people that God called his own. And that was an uncertain future. That was following an unseen God. He made his stand, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses was able to make this choice because he had taken a position before he was confronted with these options. One of the reasons we don't make the right choices is because we have not decided where we stand on certain matters. We haven't decided where we stand on matters of morality. We haven't decided where we stand on matters of character. We haven't decided where we stand on matters of values. We haven't decided where we stand on matters of godliness. rather than making decisions based on our commitment to Jesus and what Jesus calls us to, we make our decisions on what makes me feel good, what makes me feel loved, what makes me feel accepted, what is good for me, what feeds the desires that I have, the desires of the flesh. And it's what brings me joy, pleasure, and comfort that is driving my decisions. And in many cases, it's also the recognition and status that comes with that. Moses had a faith that believed God is, and that he will do what he promises. And although Moses believed God was going to use him to free the people of Israel, he understood that it was not the office that he was presently in Egypt. And regardless of whether he became Pharaoh or not, it wasn't that position either. And because of his faith, because he believed God, he was able to make the right choice. And he was able to take off the fine clothes. He was able to walk out of the palace. He was able to leave his adoptive mother and basically become a slave with the people of Israel. It is faith that calls us to look to God. Not our feelings, not common sense, not our interests, not our gifts, not our talents, not our abilities, not our status or wealth. It's faith. Believing God is and looking to him to be the true guide, ruler, and leader of our lives. And it's not going to be easy. But the faith we're talking about can and will empower us to step out of our comfort zones. When we consider this account of Moses, he had the opportunity to maintain a life of comfort and great position and status on one hand. And on the other hand, there was a call to take his place with the people of God. And he'd made that choice. And he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. He was looking ahead towards that great reward, the great promise that he'd been given. And what we need to understand is that the faith we're talking about isn't a step into the unknown. It isn't based on nothing. True faith provides or forms godly values. And it has an eternal outlook. There is an object in our faith. And Moses weighed up his options. And he deliberately, intentionally refused the world and all that the world could offer him, all of its pleasures, all of its treasures. And he chose to suffer with the people of God. Why? Because he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead for his great reward. Moses had the long outlook in mind. In light of what was to come, not in this world, in the next, eternal life in God's presence. He formed a true estimate of all that is offered in this present world and decided that being connected with the people of God, with the suffering of Christ, that would bring him far greater riches than all of Egypt. And it was this same faith that allowed Moses to walk away from everything and everyone that he had ever known. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Moses knew nothing of the land beyond Egypt. He had been born there. He had lived there. And he knew nothing beyond that position. But he went out. He left in faith because God had let him out of there. God called him and moved him to another place. He didn't go in fear of all the king could do to him or what the Pharaoh may do. He went because his eyes was fixed on God. Even though God was invisible, he was focused fully upon him. And he very much stepped into the unknown. But he was confident doing so because he believed God was with him, leading him, guiding him. And we find that as Moses continues in his work, walk and journey with God, he has more and more choices to make. And he makes those choices in faith, and his faith becomes even stronger as a result. And the faith that Moses had is a faith that allows us to obey, even when it seems nuts. Have you ever stopped to think about the things that God had Moses do? We've only got a few in the passage that we're looking at today, but there's heaps more that are just totally unbelievable. But even what we have here is enough to make this point. Hebrews 11:28, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. Again, just step into this moment. You imagine someone knocking on your front door and saying, "Hey guys, I've got something for you. God's just told me, I want you to sacrifice a lamb tonight. I want you to put the blood over the doorpost. I want you to cook that lamb, and I want everyone in the household to completely eat that lamb. You can't leave any of it. You've got to eat it all, but you've got to be fully dressed. You've got to have your staff in your hand. You've got to be ready to go. Don't sit down." Would you think I'll start raving mad? Nothing like this has ever happened before. And somehow Moses had such great faith. It wasn't just about his belief that God was going to do what he said in the angel of death coming and killing the firstborn sons. He was able to relay that to the people in such a way that they actually got it. They understood that this was something that was really going to happen. This is how great his faith was and how he was able to portray this to the people of Israel. And they got it and they did what they were told, and no firstborn sons of Israel died. It's a little bit different for Egypt. The same thing happens here in 11:29. It was by faith the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. And if you go back to Exodus and read this account, they'd escaped from Egypt. And they were standing on the shore of the Red Sea, and Egypt had changed their mind. Pharaoh had changed his mind. He was pursuing the Israelites, and they were up against the Red Sea. The Israelites began to panic because obviously they're going to be slaughtered. They've got nowhere to go. And Moses basically says, "Calm your farm, God's got this." And then he raises his hands with his staff, just as God told him to. And the seas parted. Can you imagine? And then the Israelites walk through on dry ground. And they get to the other side, and Moses just drops his hands, and the seas close over the Egyptians. And this army that was to kill them is suddenly wiped out. It's incredible. And again, it was by faith that that happened. Hebrews 11:30. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. And this is another one that blows my mind. I messed up because I was running off at the mouth in the first service. I said this was Moses. It wasn't Moses. This was Joshua. But Moses had walked with Joshua as his sidekick for 40 years. Joshua had seen the incredible things God had done and the faith that Moses had in God. Think about Moses' mum and dad and the faith that they invested in Moses. And now Moses has invested the same faith in Joshua. And so Moses has stood on the other side and he's looked across and he's seen Jericho, this fortified city. And God said, "You're not going there." Moses didn't get to go there because he messed up, but that's okay. And so he had a big meeting with the people of Israel and with Josh. And then when they went over and they came to Jericho, I can imagine the generals, the fighting men came to Joshua and they said, "Okay, how are we going to attack this fortified city? How is this going to happen?" And Joshua said, just as Moses did, something totally ridiculous. "We're going to get the worship team to do it." Can you imagine? It's like, "Hey, what? Yeah, we're going to get them to march around 7 times. They're going to play their instruments and the walls are just going to fall down." Right. What happened? That's exactly what happened. And I've been to Jericho. It's an incredible thing. And so this wall, the walls of Jericho, and I've seen the foundation where this wall fell down. And the lower wall was rock. It was quite solid. And built upon that rock was a mud brick wall. That mud brick wall was at least 6 foot thick. And so the people of Israel marched around 7 times. They blew their trumpets and this wall fell. And that wall didn't fall just anywhere. The mud brick sheared off and went like that, providing a ramp for the Israelites to go straight in. That's still there today. They won't let you see it, but I'd been told before I went, and me and my lecturer ran down where the Palestinians didn't want us to go. And trust me, they were trying to stop us, but we got to see it. And it's incredible. You see, God does over and above what we expect when we obey him. He does over and above what we expect when we trust him. And that's certainly the case in what happened at Jericho. And again, that faith was contagious. Joshua was able to convince those guys it was all going to be okay, that marching around and blowing some instruments was going to give them the victory. The faith we are talking about requires a response. Moses acted on the promises of God. He received those promises, and he chose to live his life believing God would fulfill those promises. And on this side of Jesus coming and everything like that, we know that he did. Moses and so many of these forefathers looked forward to the promised Messiah, looked forward to Jesus coming, and they never saw that, but they lived in faith that it would happen. And we know that it did. What about us? I mentioned that as a family, we've stepped into 2025 not knowing what it will bring, facing some trials that are going to be very difficult for us. But we take time to pause, we take time to pray, we take time to lay our concerns and worries before God and think through everything. And we claim the promises that he made. And you know, one of the things that he said to us, he says that I will never leave you, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. He is our constant companion. He is our comfort, our guide, our help in our time of need. And we know his presence and we know his power. And we can testify to his goodness to us, even when sometimes we struggle with the things that happen. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you? Where are you in your faith journey with Jesus? Have you made that first step? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If not, you've come here or you're online and you've heard us talk about Jesus several times, perhaps. If you recognize him as the Son of God, as he himself claimed to be, I want to give your life to him today. Just do it. We'd love to help you with that. But what if you walked away? What if you've lost faith? What if you're questioning everything? What was it that you lost at that time? Was it Jesus? Or did you walk away because you didn't get an answer to prayer that you were hoping for? Did you walk away because someone in the church let you down? Perhaps a pastor, perhaps a leader, perhaps a close Christian friend. I don't know, but perhaps that's what happened. And I'm not going to make excuses for those people. We make some terrible mistakes. We do and say some terrible things, sometimes not meaningly, sometimes definitely meaning. And it's terrible. We shouldn't be like that. People will fail you. It's going to happen again, but I can tell you Jesus will not. He will never fail you. It's not in his nature. You may not have gotten what you hoped for. You may have prayed and prayed and prayed. And now you think Jesus failed because he didn't give you what you wanted. He didn't answer the way that you wanted him to. Does that change who Jesus is? No. And that may seem a little bit harsh to you. I want you to think about this guy. This guy had leprosy. And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me well. Do you understand what's being said here? This guy is saying, I know you can do it. I know you have the power to change who I am and what I am right now. I know you can heal me, but Lord, it's up to you. If you're willing, you can do it. He has great faith that Jesus can heal him, but he makes no demands on Jesus. He simply states that he knows that Jesus can heal him if Jesus wants to. You should go read the story, but Jesus does heal him. It's a great, great thing. But faith is not about manipulating God. It's not about demanding that he does what we want him to do. Faith is about trusting him. God is and will do what he promises. For all of us, do you want to make the right choices when you are faced with difficult decisions? Is God calling you out of your comfort zone to serve him, to do more for him in your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your schools or universities, even in your church? Is he calling you to make that stand? Wherever you go, whatever you do. Is God calling you to do something that seems crazy right now, something that seems nuts? Are you willing to obey that call? Are you willing to step out in faith? With each and every decision we make for Jesus, even when we mess up, our faith grows. If we want faith that perseveres. A faith that continues despite the difficulties, the opposition, the discouragement. We have to make a choice. The choice is to make a stand. We stand for Jesus in all things, not some things. Faith calls us to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus and to unfix them on everything else. Today is a call for each and every failing, fallen, bumbling, struggling Christian to get up again, make a stand, and live a life of faith. Yeah, you're inadequate, so am I. Yes, you will fail, so will I. And so did Moses. But he kept his eyes firmly fixed on God, a God who has not failed and won't, a God who could do everything he needs done himself, but who delights in using you and me. Faith in God, knowing God is and will do what his promises, allowed Moses to persevere. And it's that same faith that will allow you to persevere too. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you it's relevant and speaks to us even today. I thank you for your love that you pour out upon us constantly. I thank you for your blessings that you give us. And I thank you that you have chosen us, your church, your people, to be the instruments that you are going to use to bring others into the kingdom. Lord, I pray for everyone who is hearing my voice that we won't take that lightly. And that today we'll make that stand. We will stand for you and we'll make that decision to make that stand in each and every circumstance of our life, Lord, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of what we may need to overcome. And we claim your promises that you will be with us, that you will strengthen us, that you will equip us for every good work. You are a good God. We love you dearly. Go with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.